Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
And we are live, brothers and sisters, on this Saturday morning, the 27th of April. Welcome, pro-life leader Frank Pavone here. We're going to delve into the scriptures. We're going to delve into prayer. We're going to pray for one another. You can leave your comments and your prayer intentions if you like. We are going to celebrate. I'm going to be live today and also live again tomorrow, the Lord's Day. We continue to celebrate the Easter season. It'll be the fifth Sunday of Easter. Boy, this Easter season is going by quickly. I just returned, by the way, from a week-long trip out in Salt Lake City. I was with the Heartbeat International Conference. And if you follow me on social media, as I hope you do on all the platforms, at FR Frank Pavone, you will have already seen some of what went on out there with these people who run, some of the best people in the world, people who run the pregnancy centers nationwide, saving lives day by day, counseling, healing people of the wounds of abortion, helping people choose life against all odds. So I was with them. I'm at their conferences every year. There are three major conferences of pregnancy center networks and a number of smaller ones. But this was one of the big ones, Heartbeat International. So I just came back very late last night. In fact, it was after midnight by the time we landed. But great week, great week. Great to be back with you live, and a lot going on in the movement. We've got to, I'll be here in my office now this week, so we're going to have a lot to talk about in the movement. So let's put ourselves in the presence of the Lord and delve into the reading from today, for today from the Acts of the Apostles. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we turn to you first of all with repentance, asking for the forgiveness of our sins. We rejoice in the gift of repentance. We are delighted, Lord God, actually delighted, to start over again anew each day. What a wonderful thing it is about the Christian life that we can put the past behind and truly begin a new life each day. Lord, we ask you now that we would understand your word more deeply. Let us live it more faithfully, and may we proclaim it more effectively. We ask this through the one who died and rose again, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Oh, I love this reading here now because it shows the dynamics. You know, there's some people we have to beware of. You know, we have to love everybody, but it doesn't mean we trust everybody. We've got to love everybody. That doesn't mean we can't detect hypocrisy and oppose it. Doesn't mean we can't, give people a little bit of what they deserve in terms of if they're traitors, as so many people, they insert themselves. It's one thing to see the lunatics on the left, okay, those that are indoctrinating our children and bringing drag queens into churches and libraries and kindergarten classes. These are the enemy that make themselves known as the enemy. But we got to beware of those that infiltrate themselves into the church. They become part of our community of worship. They may be at your place of work. They're just hypocrites. They're just liars. And I want to point out to you here in today's reading a little bit of this dynamic right from the beginning of the church. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. On the following Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and with violent abuse contradicted what Paul said. Both Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and condemn yourselves as unworthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may be an instrument of salvation to the ends of the earth. The Gentiles were delighted when they heard this and glorified the word of the Lord. All who were destined for eternal life came to believe, and the word of the Lord continued to spread through the whole region. The Jews, however, incited the women of prominence who were worshipers and the leading men of the city, stirred up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their territory. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. The disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Look, there is just so much about this reading that shows dynamics that you and I are living with right now in our work in the pro-life movement, in our work in the church, in our lives as believers. So many dynamics here. Let's just point out a few of them. First of all, it's a title of the church, Lumen Gentium. This was a prophecy from Isaiah about the suffering servant, Jesus Christ, the same one about whom it says, as we hear, you can hear the tunes of the Handel's Messiah in the background, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. By his stripes we are healed. That same person that Isaiah was speaking about, the suffering servant, Jesus Christ, is the one whom God promised he would make a lumen gentium, a light to the nations. Now that's a title of the church, one of the key documents of the Second Vatican Council. The dogmatic constitution on the church, in other words, the document that talks about what the church believes about who she is called Lumen Gentium, right from this reading. Light to the Gentiles, light to the nations. One of the beautiful things about the conference I just came back to from Salt Lake City, Heartbeat International, and you'll see an article about this from me, by the way, as soon as I finish this broadcast, I have to go finish an article I'm writing for Life News. I'm sure many of you read lifenews.com about this conference, so we just came back to it from. And I mentioned the parade of nations on the first evening of the gathering. Dozens and dozens of people, each carrying a flag of a different nation, some of the ones carrying them, actually there at that conference from that nation. And working on pro-life in those countries, running pregnancy centers in those nations. And it was so beautiful. It's always so moving because they come in one by one carrying the flags and everyone is applauding and there's music playing. And it shows that it is a lumen gentium, the church. These are all believers in Christ. The church is a light to the nations. The pro-life movement is a light to the nations. Because the nations are shrouded in the darkness of the culture of death, that darkness that makes us forget the difference between helping people and killing people. Gives us an eclipse. You know, recently had the solar eclipse, right? There's an eclipse of reason. Very famous, influential film on abortion is called Eclipse of Reason, back from long ago. Dr. Bernard Nathanson, whom I knew, architect of the abortion movement who became pro-life, did this film, Eclipse of Reason. Well, that's what it is. Well, you can't realize that killing a baby is wrong. It's an eclipse of reason. It's darkness. And so, but the pro-life movement is a light. The church is a light. Okay, so that's the first thing to latch onto here, because now that prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled in these very events that we're reading about in the Acts of the Apostles. As the Jews reject the gospel, or many of them anyway, some did accept, of course, Paul and Barnabas say, well, look, God prophesied this, so now we're going to go to the Gentiles. And they believed and they received the Holy Spirit. They were baptized. They became people of faith, as it still is today. Notice, Paul and Barnabas aren't concerned about their own authority. This is not about their own importance. Look at how this is phrased. The whole city gathered, okay, to do what? Paul and Barnabas are standing up in front of them to do what? To say, oh, look how great we are? Or to say, look here, follow us? The whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Who are we after all? We're nothing. It's the word of the Lord that we're interested in. We who have ministries, is it about growing the ministry? Those of who are pastors of churches, is it about growing the church itself or about proclaiming the word of the Lord? Some still have this little bit confused. Paul and Barnabas weren't confused. They spoke, that's why they spoke boldly, not because they thought they were better than anybody else, not because they were looking for earthly power or glory. They knew that they were speaking the word of the Lord. And when they realized these people were rejecting it, notice, it wasn't that they were concerned, it was nothing personal. It wasn't that they were concerned that they were rejecting them. They were concerned that they were convicting themselves as unworthy of eternal life. They knew they were carrying the word of life. We have to be the same way. It's like, hey, everybody, we've got nothing against you. In fact, we have everything for you. This is the word of eternal life that we're bringing you. You want to reject us? This is no burden on us. It's a burden on you. See, that's how we persevere. We persevere because when people reject us or they reject the teaching, understand, the burden is not on us whom they reject. It's on them. They're creating a terrible burden for themselves. Paul and Barnabas said, you reject it. Now, they didn't say, you reject us. Oh, we take it personally. Oh, we're hurt. Oh, we're going to sue you. They're not children. You reject it, they said. You reject the word of the Lord, which is what we are bringing you. We are nothing. And when you reject the word of the Lord, you're condemning yourselves as unworthy of eternal life. So what do Paul and Barnabas do? They don't go home and sit around, oh, I feel so sad, they rejected me. You know, some so-called religious leaders and pastors, this is what they do. They run home and they sit in the corner, oh, I'm being a little bit dramatic. They don't know how to deal with rejection. It's like, would you grow a spine, get some thick skin, and get back out into the battle, would you? We wonder why we're not making more progress. It's because we've got people sitting in the corner. They don't like me. They don't like me. So what? Get up. Do what Paul and Barnabas did. They shook the dust from their feet. And what did they do? We now turn to the Gentiles. In other words, look at the drive behind these men. We now turn to the Gentiles. We've got a mission here. You're not going to accept this gift of eternal life? All right, listen, too bad for you. We're moving on. We're moving on. You don't sit back and have a pity party. For goodness sake, too many are doing that. We wonder why there's division, because people take themselves too seriously. Oh, I got rejected. So what? Now, let's look at another dynamic going on in this reading. I love this passage. The Jews, okay, first of all, right from the beginning of the reading, they hear this preaching. They see Paul and Barnabas doing this beautiful work of reclaiming the word of the Lord, healing the sick, and they get jealous. Filled, not a little bit of jealousy, they were filled with jealousy. All right? Be careful of the people around you. Be careful even of the religious leaders and others, influential people, who are filled with jealousy. And then look at what these those who are rejecting the word, convicting themselves as unworthy of eternal life, look at what we do. They incite the women of prominence and the leading men of the city. Oh, I love what Rachel is saying, Bob. I can see your guys' comments. I'm going to read Rachel. Hey, Rachel, thanks for being with me. Thank you, Father Pavone. You speak to us as we speak, and we understand the readings. I love your sense of humor. Yes. You know what? You know who I was with yesterday at the Heartbeat Conference? Let's go off on a little diversion here. Kyle Mann. You know who Kyle Mann is? Now, some of you know right away. Seth Dillon. Does that name ring a bell? I know Seth as well. He wasn't there yesterday, but Kyle was. The Babylon Bee. Listen, friends, you want to do yourself a favor, look up the Babylon Bee. It's Christian satire, conservative Christian satire. They are the funniest. You want? I don't know anything that makes me laugh more than the Babylon Bee, because they take the news of the day. Let me know in the comments if you're familiar with, if you follow the Babylon Bee. They take that what's going on in the world and in the church and in our politics and in the country and in the pro-life movement, and they write these stories. They make up these headlines, right? That are, they're fake, of course, because it's satire. And yet, it's so funny because it gets to, the reason something is funny is that it gets to the truth about something. All right. So, like, for example, Mary Lou, Love Babylon Bee. Oh, it's just hilarious. Listen, do yourselves a favor. Because we've got to learn how to laugh. We've got to have a sense of humor. We've got to be happy warriors. And satire is a way, who was it that said it? I don't know if it's G.K. Chesterton, that, you know, humor gets under the door while seriousness is still fumbling with the doorknob. Satire and humor just go right under the door. To do what? To convey the truth. Like the Babylon Bee, they run one of the, it's a simple example. One of the headlines was a big washing machine. You know, CNN installs industrial washing machine at its headquarters to spin the news. And you know, and some of these things are so, you know, and it goes to show also the reaction that they get. The left has lost all its sense of humor. The radical left that are trying to destroy everything that we believe in, trying to destroy the country, take their home is the Democrat Party. They've lost all sense of humor. And you know why? Very simple. Things are funny because they point out something that's true. But the left is so disconnected with truth, they can't be funny anymore. And they aren't. Even when they try to be, nobody laughs because it isn't funny. The things that are really funny are the things like the, you know, the big CNN washing machine that spins the news. You know, and a lot of their posts are a whole lot funnier than that. But yeah, some of you are making mention of the fact that you know or you're going to look into Babylon Bee. So, okay, back to the reading. The women of prominence and the leading men of the city. Be careful of these people. The Jews incited them. Now notice, these women of prominence. Now listen, I know a lot of women of prominence, and I know a lot of men of who are leading men of various cities. So they're saints. Some of them are saints. All right, and they inspire me, and we work together, and they're great allies. You can't generalize here. However, among the prominent women and leading men of many cities today, the same thing happens as this reading describes. The Jews, or anybody who's filled with jealousy at the work that you and I are doing, incite these people. Some of them are they're willing, useful idiots, right? Willing tools of the enemy, and they get incited. But notice these women of prominence are described as worshipers. Uh-oh. They're worshipers. They're not the people outside that never come to church. They're sitting in the first pew. Fancy, dressed up fancy. Maybe they've got a nice fat bank account. And they got the pastor eating out of their hand because whatever they say goes, because God forbid we don't want to lose our donors. This is all sickness. This is all part of the sickness going on today, actually, in the church where some of these people of influence, be careful of these people, are used against what the real mission of the church is. I'm not saying be judgmental if you don't know there's a problem, but if you suspect there's a problem or you actually see that there's a problem, understand that this has been a problem for a long time. These people get influential. Maybe they get influential because, praise God, you know, they worked hard and they got successful, and I'm not holding any of that against them, but my goodness. Some of them then fall in love with their own influence, right? They fall in love with their own money. They fall in love with the fact that, oh, I'm really the one who decides what happens in this church because I'm a person of influence. I'm a person of wealth. Take your wealth, throw it in the river, put peanut butter on it, and go eat your money for all I care. Get out of our way. You may be blessed with influence and you may be blessed with wealth, but that doesn't give you one iota of authority over any of the rest of us to proclaim the word of the Lord, and that doesn't take away one iota of your responsibility to live and obey the word of the Lord. So don't waste my time with your influence. Paul and Barnabas had the same The same attitude. What did they do? After these women of prominence and men, leading men of the city came after them. Paul and Barnabas didn't care. They shook the dust from their feet in protest against them. They didn't bow to them. They didn't cower to them. They didn't say, oh, I'm sorry for offending you. Tell me what you want. They didn't do any of that. No, we need, Laura Lee say, we need less anger. No, we need more anger. The problem, listen, not sinful anger. I'm not talking about hatred. I'm not talking about anger that doesn't discern the reasons for the anger. Laura Lee and everybody, listen, we need more anger. The problem nowadays is that horrific things are happening and Christians aren't getting angry at it. And then they go, oh, everything's, they're pretending everything's okay. What's the alternative to being angry? Angry doesn't mean you sin or you hate or you lose control or you do something violent or you're divisive. It's that you see what's going on and you allow yourself to feel it. We have to approach all of this, what's going on today, whether it's the killing of babies by abortion, the squashing religion. You're not angry that drag queens are trying to indoctrinate your children or grandchildren or your neighbor's children? That doesn't make you angry? That these people say that we're the problem when we object at school board meetings and the Biden administration calls in the FBI to investigate the school boards because loving parents are concerned that their children are being indoctrinated with gender ideology and spoken to in their grade school by drag queens? This doesn't get you angry? And we need more anger, because then what happens is, thank you, S. Morales, furious. Yeah, it doesn't just make you angry, it makes you furious. Understand what I'm saying. If you realize what's going on, you see the attacks, and you value the things that are being attacked, well then, okay, so you get angry. But then, look, here's the difference. And maybe this is what you're saying, Laura Lee and others. I understand. Listen to me. What happens next? You don't let that anger control you, or you don't let it, cause division. You submit it to the Holy Spirit. I think this is what you're trying to say. You submit it to the Holy Spirit, and you say, Lord, I'm not going to disconnect myself from my own humanity. As a human being, I'm feeling this, okay? Like Janet is saying, righteous indignation. I'm feeling this. It's energy. It's confirming for me that I'm in touch with what's going on and I'm valuing the right things, okay? Because if you value the right things, you're angry when those things get attacked. But then here's the key. Take this energy, Lord God, and let me transform it. Let me channel it into something good, to do good activity, do something about it. So one of the ways we have to do something about all this stuff is to get out and vote. Educate other voters, register other voters, talk to your friend, bring 10 other people with you to the poll. My good. It's okay. Paul and Barnabas got angry, but what they used that angry energy for? Well, let's go off to the next town and let's keep preaching. They let nothing stop them. See, if you let anger turn in on yourself, you know what that becomes? Depression. And then you don't do anything. Well, that doesn't fix things. Then you're just going to end up getting more angry later on. No. You channel it, submit it to the Holy Spirit. Lord, show me what to do. And you do good to counteract the problem. Okay. So that's all, friends. Look, we are dealing with the same. Be careful of these people of prominence and wealth, influence. Yeah. You know what? Don't bow to them. If you have wealth, if you have influence, listen, use it for good. And you be their conscience. Use it for good. And if they are using it for good, thank them. And if they're using it for good and they want you to help them use it for good, form alliances with them. But they're not in charge. God is. And in that regard, in relation to Him, we're all on equal footing. Equal footing. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the zeal that Paul and Barnabas had and that you want us to have. Zeal for proclaiming that Christ is risen, that Jesus is Lord, that death and sin have been conquered. Yes, Lord, we enable us to get angry at the things that are happening that are bad, but fill us with the joy that surpasses all understanding, the joy that is the dominant force in our lives, the joy and the peace that flow from the confidence we have that you have indeed conquered evil, that good prevails, life prevails over death. The struggle may last for a while, but life has the last word. Good and truth and grace have the last word over falsehood and error and sin. Thank you, Lord. We intercede for one another, all the prayer intentions that have been mentioned and any other needs we have that have not been mentioned. Lord, give guidance and direction to those who are doubtful or have to make important decisions. Give health to those who are sick. Receive into your arms those who have died. Bring peace to parts of the world that are ravaged by war. Bring victory in the elections that our nation is now undertaking, so important and consequential. Bring clarity within our church to the teaching of the very faith that has been handed on to us from the beginning. It's no secret. Bless us in our pro-life work. Bring an end to abortion. Stop these constitutional amendments that would force unlimited abortion on our state constitutions and take away from people and their lawmakers the ability to enact pro-life laws in the future, or that would wipe away pro-life laws that have been enacted in the past. Protect us, Lord, from this onslaught of abortion. And we sum up all our prayers and praises now as we continue to celebrate the Easter season, and we offer the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thanks, friends. We are live tomorrow. Oh, let's keep praying a little bit. Let's call on our Heavenly Mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Thanks for all your supportive comments, friends, and we'll be live tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your friends. Let others know about these broadcasts. You're doing a good job because our numbers keep getting higher and higher, and we want to serve, right? We want to serve. We want to proclaim the word of life. We want to end abortion. We want to save America. If you're on the same page with that, you're in the right place. Bring others along too. God bless. Have a great Saturday. Talk to you soon.
Hello. I'm Dr. Alveda King, board member of Priest for Life. More money is being spent in America to kill babies in the womb than to save them. Together, we need to change that, and today I want to invite you to support our work at Priest for Life. Why ours rather than other groups? Because we have a unique team that helps lead in every arena of the fight against abortion, and we activate the churches where you find people who are most likely to get involved in that fight. To awaken a pastor about abortion is to awaken thousands of people he serves. We do not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have a very high evaluation among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor, or you can call us at 321-500-1000.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.